Do you see that house?
I helped build that house.
My kids got tired of me saying that. I would go past a house, a barn, something I had worked on and said, "Hey, I worked on that." And they're like, "Oh, brother." You know, and I have all kinds of pictures. I have brochures of boats that we had worked on or redesigned, and motorcycle parts that I made. Why do I do that? Deep in my soul, there is a desire to make a difference. There's a desire to leave a mark on this blue marble before I leave it. You know what I mean? Do you feel that? Do you do something similar? I mean, how you raised your children, you talk about, when you see somebody, you talk about your children. Well, my children are doing this and they're doing that. Or maybe it's your accomplishment in your job. You know, like, this is what I've done. I've done this. And things that you've done that you feel like give your life significance. This morning, we're talking about something even more significant than houses or projects, because houses and barns and widgets will all wear out or be torn down and turned to dust. What if we could invest our lives in something that would never wear out or spoil or fade? Jesus raises this topic in his command that he left us before he left. And it's this, Matthew 28:19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." So what does it mean? If that's an important thing, what does it mean to make disciples? How do you make disciples? And you've heard that phrase before. And we talk about discipleship a lot. And what does it mean? That reminds me of one of my favorite movies, a clip from that movie. And it's right here.
"Are you doing that?
Making sure nobody's follow us."
"That would be inconceivable."
"You're sure nobody's follow us?"
"As I told you, it would be absolutely, totally, and in all other ways, inconceivable."
"He's climbing the rope. And he's gaining on us."
"Inconceivable. He didn't fall? Inconceivable."
"You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means."
"You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means." We keep using that word, disciple, discipleship. I do not think it means what you think it means. What does it really mean? To make a disciple? So, first of all, we need to realize what it meant to be a disciple at the time of Jesus. What did it mean to be a disciple at that time? Well, at between ages 5 and 12, boys memorized, that's not a typo, that's the word, memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You can just page through your Bibles, through the first five books of the Bible. By age 12, they had that memorized. Girls memorized Deuteronomy, or Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Psalms, and Proverbs. Memorized. And then from ages 12 through 15, are you sitting down? Okay. Girls got married. They were raised differently. They were more mature back then. But girls got married, and boys memorized the rest of the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, or Malachi, you may say, memorized. They memorized all of that and learned a trade part-time. And now you're wondering, was this the case for all the Jews at that time? And not necessarily. This was the tradition in the north side of the Sea of Galilee, especially in the towns Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum. In that area, that is what they did. It happened in a few other areas as well. And to some degree, still to this day, a man named Ray Vanderlaan would take groups over to that area and study, and their bus broke down. And so they're waiting on the side of the road, and a bus with Jewish kids on it stopped to help them. And so he said, he just wanted to demonstrate to the people that were with him. He said to the kids, "Can you name all the birds in the Bible starting in Genesis?" And they just went through. The bird is mentioned here, 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 here. And they had such a grasp of the Old Testament, they could just say. And so they had a good grasp of the Old Testament in a way we can't even imagine. Then from ages 15 to 30, every Jewish boy desperately wanted to be a rabbi's disciple. That was the coolest thing to do and be at that time, was to be a disciple of a rabbi. Everybody wanted to be a disciple of a rabbi, and they would go to these rabbis and ask to be one of their disciples. And one out of 1,000 got to be a disciple. One out of 1,000 got to be a disciple. And the rest of them, the rabbi would say, "Ply your trade and make babies, and perhaps one of them will be a rabbi." And so then they would go on to the trade that they had learned. And they had a blessing for those who became a disciple. The blessing was this: may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. May you follow your rabbi so closely as he walks the dirt paths at that time, that his dust would be on you. That was the blessing at the time. And so this is how a number of the disciples of Jesus were trained. So let's translate this to today. Does that mean that to be a disciple, you and I have to memorize the entire Bible? No, somebody said no. Hopefully. No. How many of us could do that? You say to your friend, "Yes, I would like that you work with. I'd like you to come to church and be a disciple of Jesus. Now, first of all, what you need to do is memorize the entire Bible." And then what does the Bible really say about this? So we looked at Matthew 28, 19. Let's look at that whole section starting in verse 16 and see what Jesus said. See what all is in that context. It said, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some," what? "Doubted." Doubted. Do you have doubts? Do you have doubts that God could really use you? That you have doubts that God could really use you to affect somebody else? Do you doubt that God really said what he said in the Word? Do you have doubts? Welcome. There were people who saw the dead body of Jesus, and then they saw that same body resurrected, and they had doubts. And through them, God changed the world. So there's hope for you and me and all of our doubts. There's hope for all of us that have doubts. You're in the right place. Going on, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me.'" What's the purpose there? You have permission. He has all authority. He's giving you permission. So It's okay. You can do it because you have permission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we want to discover what Jesus meant by making disciples. So let's unpack this passage. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is baptism? Baptism is a public declaration. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I don't care who knows. And so baptism is a disciple is public about their faith in Jesus. A disciple is public about their faith, and they don't care who knows. In fact, there was a time 500 years ago in what we call the Protestant Reformation where it was illegal to be baptized in the name of Jesus as an adult. At that time, the church was the state, and you were baptized as infants, and if you got baptized again, that was illegal, and people were killed for being baptized. But they would still do it. It was public. And sometimes we do baptism here, and we have a tub, and we do it right here, and that's good. That's public. But what I really like is when we go to a lake or a beach, you know what I mean? And do it in public, because that's what it was. I remember January of 1978, God prompted me to talk to my coworker about my faith in Jesus. When I first started working there, I wasn't living for Jesus. And I had recently made that decision that, God, you can have my life. And God prompted me to talk to Alan. Oh, but talk to Alan. Okay, and I remember I was over at the tool bench, okay, and went over and just shared, hey, I don't know whether you noticed, but I'm decided to give my life to Jesus. And that was scary, but that's an important part of being a disciple, is being public about your faith. So how about you? Are you public about your faith? Do other people know about your faith in Jesus? Or is it just a secret? Just between you and God. I don't want anybody else to know. That's what a disciple does. A disciple is public. And Jesus went on. Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. A disciple obeys Jesus. A disciple obeys Jesus. Now you may ask, well, you know, like in certain areas? No. Full and complete obedience. Obeying God in every area of your life. Maybe you already know this, but I'll say it anyhow. Partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience. Well, I'm partially obeying. Let me illustrate it this way. Imagine you're going to leave the kids at home, and you just remind them before you leave. You're going to leave them there. You're going to go grocery shopping. You'll be back in an hour, and you say, no running with scissors, right? And you come home, and they have burned the entire house to the ground. And they come to you and say, we didn't run with scissors. Is that full and complete obedience? Not exactly. That's not complete obedience. So how about you? Is there full and complete obedience in your life? Do you When God prompts you to do something, do you immediately obey? Jesus went on in that passage and he said, I am with you always to the very end of the age. A pastor said once that if you walk in Philadelphia, you'll get hurt. You can't walk in Philadelphia. You have to move. And I would demonstrate that, but I can't do that. But you have this strut, this move, this authority in the way you walk, right? That's confidence. My senior year in high school, our senior class trip was to New York City, and our hotel was right on Times Square. And we were right down there, and late one night, I was walking with Ed Lewis. And Ed was taller than me. Ed was a big black guy that grew up on the south side of Chicago. And he was strong. And so we're walking down Broadway, and there's a point at which Broadway is not lit very well. And there's a group of five or six in a circle, and a group of three or four in a circle, you know. And Ed starts looking around, and he goes, well, we better head back before I have to hurt somebody. And you know, I was a little concerned, but I was with Ed. And I had confidence because I had Ed with me, right? He was with me. And a disciple is confident in their walk with Jesus. If you're walking with Jesus, the one who spoke creation into being, that's more power than I have. If you're walking with him, you should have confidence, right? You should move with authority because he's with you all of the time. There was a couple who had been married for a couple of years, and after a while, the wife started going blind. And she went completely blind, and she sank into this deep, dark depression. And her husband said, listen, I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to help you. I'll help you do your job so you can do it as a blind woman. And she said, I can't do that. And he would go to work with her, and he'd walk with her all the way there, help her get on the bus, and walk up the stairs and into the office, and he taught her to do her job blind. And he would do that every morning. And then one day, he said to his wife, listen, he worked at an army base nearby. He said, I'm getting to work too late. You're going to have to learn to do this all by yourself. And she freaked out. There's no way I can do this by myself. Walk a block, get on the bus, get off the bus at the right place and walk up the stairs. I can't do that. He said, I'm going to work with you. I'll be with you and help you. And he would go with her and he would show her what to do. And finally she said, okay, I think I've got it. And so Monday, she walked the block. She got on the bus. She got off the bus. She walked up the stairway, walked into her office and did her job. And Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday. And Friday, she got on the bus, and the bus driver said, you're a lucky woman. And she said, stop it, I'm a blind woman. He said, yes, ma'am, but every day you've gotten off the bus, there's a man standing on the street corner in a military uniform, and he never takes his eye off of you. When you walk down the sidewalk and cross the street, he's watching you like a hawk. And you go up the stairs and open the door, and then go in. As the door closes, he stands ramrod tall and gives you a salute and blows you a kiss. And that's when she realized that her husband was watching her. And that's what Jesus does. He's with us, and he's watching us. And so we can be confident as disciples. So if we're going to be a disciple, what's the curriculum? Like, what do we study? How do we, now, it should be some course that goes along with that. Here's the curriculum, Mark 3:14. He appointed 12, designating them apostles that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Jesus is the curriculum. Jesus is the curriculum. That's what, and there, I could give you two pages of verses from the Gospels. And Jesus did this, and the disciples were with him. And Jesus did this miracle. And Jesus went here and taught this, and the disciples were with him, and the disciples were with him, and the disciples were with him. They were with him. And that was their curriculum, his presence, his witness. And that's what stuck with them. They're in big trouble in Acts chapter 4. A man was healed, and it caused a controversy. Oh no. And they were hauled before this Sanhedrin. Notice what it says about them in Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and what? Took note that these men had been what? With Jesus. It was the witness of Jesus, that with Jesus stuck with them. And they knew these guys had been with Jesus. So let me ask you, how do you have that confidence? That to walk with confidence, do people notice that you've been with Jesus? You know, we talked about the dust of the rabbi. The dust of Jesus, the witness of Jesus, does that stick on your clothes? Do you look like Jesus? The way you act. Now, point number one and point number two, look at your notes. And you look at all the memorization that they did 2,000 years ago, and what Jesus said in the second one, they don't look like the same, do they? They look like they're completely different. And so am I saying that there should be no studying? No. The studying that they did provided a foundation that God could use. But information alone is not what discipleship is about. What is the essence of discipleship? It's that people noticed that they had been with Jesus. I don't know whether you notice the title of messages, but the title of this message is what? Notice. Notice. People notice. The essence of being a disciple is that people notice Jesus in you. People notice Jesus in the way you talk, in the way you deal with customers, in the way you deal with people that are frustrated, in the way that you communicate with your neighbors. People notice. See, the bottom line is being a disciple isn't about information. It's about people noticing Jesus in you. Like the dust of the rabbi. That's how we transform this community with the love of Jesus. We just take Jesus with us wherever we go. What would Jesus do in that situation? That's what we do. There was in the time of the Depression, there was a boy that had a basket full of apples. And he was trying to sell them on a street corner to make some money. Not many people were buying his apples. And, you know, it was a hustle-bustle street, and somebody bumped him. And knocked his apples out of his basket all over the sidewalk, and some of them got kicked, and he's trying to gather them all up, and this man stops, and he gets other people from walking, and he picks up all the apples, and he takes out his handkerchief, and he cleans off all the apples, and he puts them back in the basket, and he gives them to the kid, and he starts walking away, and he feels somebody tugging on him. And it's that little boy. And that little boy looks up at him, and he said, "Mister, are you God?" That is the way we are to live in this community. People look up at you and say, "Mister, Mrs., are you Jesus?" Would you stand with me this morning? Let's pray together. My challenge for you this morning is that you would just simply pray this to God. God, make me a disciple of Jesus. Give me the courage to take my faith public. Holy Spirit, help me to be obedient in every area of my life. Jesus, remind me that you are always with you. Help me to walk in true confidence. Father, thank you for this great opportunity that you've given us to be disciples of Jesus. Help us to live just like Jesus would in this community. In his strong name we pray. Amen.